You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So as I mentioned during the announcements, Angela and I got in the wee hours of the morning, and we were in Waco at our youngest daughter's wedding, where I got to walk her down the aisle and be the officiant, which was unique. What a remarkable wedding it was. It was outdoors in August. I know that is a bit daunting, but it was actually in the evening, and it was in a grotto that had been carved into the side of a cliff. And up under the cliff, they had an archway that they had constructed and put in there. And we had lanterns that kind of provided a little illumination. We did communion, and it was an intimate setting. There were just really family there, and about a billion daddy long leg spiders. And when I say a billion, I'm not exaggerating. We thought it was moss hanging from underneath the rock, but it was spiders, and every once in a while, a clump would fall to the ground, and then they would scurry to the back wall of the grotto and back up the side of the cliff into their little clumps, and it was terrifying. But it was a beautiful wedding. Fortunately, all the clumps of spiders were back behind us, and I counted on everyone in the audience. If I saw looks of shock, fear, and surprise, that would be my cue to move. All in all, it was a good time. Just a quiet little dinner. The groom's family had gotten an Airbnb, so we all reconvened back there after the wedding ceremony, and they brought in an Italian supper, and it was great. I'm sharing that with you because both Angela and I are exhausted. I do have a message that was prepared well in advance, so thankfully we're not depending on me to wing it this morning. I want to come to you from our epistle today, from James 1, where James writes, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James tells us here that God is the true giver, the only source of every good and perfect gift. Everything with God as its source is good. Can we agree? God is not involved in, not a part of anything evil. He's not a part of the evil we do as fallen humans. He's not a party to our bad decisions, our questionable choices, our unresisted temptations. God is not in the trials and tribulations and struggles we go through, because God is not the source of calamity. He's not the source of chaos. He's not the source of life's storms. No, he is not. But rather, God is the source of the good fight within us that resists temptation. He is the power and the drive behind our good choices. He is part of our resolve to pursue the works that belong to faith. He's part of the ability that is within us to recognize the law of Christ and the ability to respond to the love of Christ. How do we do that? By loving him in return and by loving our neighbors as ourselves. So James is telling us that everything good, whether coming from within us or outside of us, everything good is from God. And to reinforce that, in 1 John 4:7-10, John writes, "Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." See, without God's love, John is telling us, without God's love and goodness being imparted to us, without our being in relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us as believers, we don't even have within us the ability to love. We can't love God, we can't love others, we can't even love ourselves without being in relationship with the source of love, God, who Scripture says is love. God is love. Everyone say to your neighbor, God is love. And so because God is the source, the originator of everything good, because he generates goodness in all his works, Scripture calls him the Father of lights. See, good gifts find their origin from above. Their goodness is intrinsic to them. God does not generate anything that is not good. God imparts goodness through gifts given to us through the Holy Spirit. And so we're given good gifts. We're given wisdom and mercy and grace and love and salvation, all good gifts that originate from God. And so if that's true, and it is, it also holds true that anything that is withheld from us, anything that is forbidden for us in God's word, is not good. Does that make sense? God's word says, don't do it, or that's bad for you. We have to pay attention to that. Regardless of how enticing or desirable it may seem to us in the moment. The key thing for us is to remember here is that if God's word tells us something is bad, then it is bad, has always been bad, and will always be bad. God does not change his stance on what is good and what is bad because God is immutable, which means he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Our feelings about it don't matter one iota. Our desire to engage in it doesn't change God's position on it. I think that's pretty clear. One of the most excellent gifts that God imparts to his people is the gift of new life. Verse 18 in our passage of scripture from James tells us, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. See, the decision that God made to birth believers through the word, through his word, Jesus, is a special kind of work in the lives of human beings that's set apart and above all of God's other creative works. You might say it's his most important work, because we as believers have faith because God gave us the good gift of spiritual birth. Of all the good gifts that God gives, the new life he gives us as believers on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the most excellent gift. God gives birth to believers by the means of grace found in his truthful word, the gospel, which is contained in our Bible. The word of truth is the instrument by which God implants new life in each and every believer. And so we as believers are the first fruits of the salvation harvest, rising out of fallen humanity. If you're wondering what fallen humanity is, just walk out those doors. You'll see it. We are the first fruits as believers, as the church, of the salvation harvest that's rising out of fallen humanity, and we are becoming workers in the vineyard to bring about the salvation of the rest of humanity and the reclaiming of all of God's creation. The word of truth is the seed that produces a fruit-bearing plant. So you might be thinking, well, how do we as workers in the vineyard plant and cultivate fruit? James in this passage emphasizes the concept of faith without works is dead. You remember that from the book of James? It reminds us here that we bear fruit. That is, we make disciples of Jesus when we are quick to listen instead of being quick to fill the silence with the sound of our own voice, with our own opinions, our own thoughtless speech, our own unbridled tongues. See, James is telling us that we need to engage our ears, listening to the Word of God first and foremost, and then listening to the Holy Spirit as he guides and directs our divine encounters, our holy conversations with people, our divine appointments with people out there, with those who need to hear the gospel message, who desperately need a relationship with Jesus. James reminds us here that we should engage our mouths only after we have engaged our ears and our minds and synced with the mind of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit. He tells us to be slow to speak and be slow to anger, especially when we meet resistance from those who are questioning everything, questioning our words, our motives, our beliefs, questioning our faith. Here's the thing. Unbelievers who are looking for fulfillment in their lives will question everything about you and your faith. The ones that are looking. And so you have to be patient and compassionate and kind to them. Show them the love of Christ. Understand that your faith language, the churchy language that we use in the church when we converse with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that language is foreign to them. You might as well be speaking Greek. They do not understand it when we use that language out in the world. Trust the Holy Spirit to equip you as you engage with people. Don't think, I am not able to find the words. Well, go to God in prayer and ask Him to equip you in advance of your next divine encounter with someone out there who has questions about you and your faith. It'll happen. If you want to facilitate that, hand somebody a little Jesus. Whoever invented those is going to enjoy sainthood. I mean, in the Catholic Church, sainthood, where they actually elect saints. It's a wonderful tool. It opens doors. Finally, James tells us here in this passage that we as disciples of Jesus Christ have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, faith has to be demonstrated, especially to those out there who don't have it yet. We have to act in truth, not just talk about the truth. The single most off-putting thing about professing Christians to the unbelieving world is Christians who say they believe one way and then act contrary to what they say they believe. Let me say that again. The single most off-putting thing about professing Christians to the unbelieving world is Christians who say they believe one way and then act contrary to what they say they believe. Hypocrisy will kill your witness. Hypocrisy will kill your ministry. Why would anyone listen to anything we say if we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk? Knowledge without wisdom and action is nothing. It's all hat and no cattle. It's all spurs and no jingle jangle. It doesn't amount to anything. Here's what the Message version of the Bible says about this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but instead a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Because anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard yourself against corruption from a godless world. That's good advice. When you look in the mirror, who do you see looking back at you? Are you one who recognizes in yourself a receiver of the good and perfect gifts of the Most High God? Is that who you see looking back at you? Are you the one who listens to the truths God is speaking into your life and then puts those truths into action? Are you a doer of the word? It would be helpful, I think, for all of us to take time this week to contemplate these important questions in our faith journeys. Be a man or woman of action in the faith, because you are the body of Christ in motion in the world. You are the church on a mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples who worship passionately. Disciples who love extravagantly. Disciples who witness boldly. Go be that this week. Go tell someone about Jesus this week. Go show them the love of Christ as reflected in your life. Be a doer of the word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.